Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and thank you for joining me today. This episode is all about legacy, about how we live, how we serve, and what we leave behind. Not the titles, not the accolades, but the values we stand for and the lives we impact. My guest today is someone who has spent over 40 years leading with purpose across multiple sectors, retired Lieutenant Colonel Oakland McCullough. Is a veteran, international recognized keynote speaker, and the author of the brilliant book, Your Leadership Legacy: Becoming the Leader You Were Meant to Be. His work is a masterclass in service, accountability, and character. Oakland, welcome to the Healthy Debate Show. It's such a pleasure and privilege to have you here.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this since the first time we talked. I know this is going to be a great show, and I appreciate you having me on here.
I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you. Now, you've had over 4 decades of leadership experience, but where did your personal journey really begin? Was there a defining moment in your early life or career that shaped how you view service and responsibility?
Yeah, it really has. And it was early on, and I always look back to probably at least two early things that shaped my views on what leaders are and responsibility, accountability. Number one was my father, who, just absolutely said, you are accountable for the things you do. He always used to tell me, every decision you make, son, has a consequence. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and you need to get to a point in your life where you're making decisions that give you good consequences. And he said to me, he said, and I'm going to help you with that. He said, I'm going to help you in that every time you're about to make a decision, think to yourself, would you want your mother to know you're about to do what you're about to do? And if the answer is yes, then it's probably pretty good. If the answer is no, then you probably need to rethink that. But, unfortunately, in our society today, accountability and responsibility have become dirty words, but we have to get back to where people are being held accountable for the things that they do, the things they say, the things they don't do. And people take responsibility because part of that is if you make a mistake, and we're all going to make mistakes, that you own up to that and you take responsibility for it. So my father early on had a big influence in what I, in me and in my view of leadership. And then in high school, I had two great mentors. One was my basketball coach, Coach Terry Nidzwicki, who I still stay in contact with 50 years later. And he was one of those servant leaders who understood that it wasn't just about him putting together a good basketball team. It was about him helping young men grow up and be good husbands, good fathers, good citizens, good people. And then my high school history teacher, who Mr. Chuck Schindler, who I stayed in contact with till about 18 months ago when he died, he was always one of those guys that you could walk into his classroom when he was on break and no matter what was the problem, you could sit down and talk to him about it, and he would take the time to give you advice or to help you think through that problem. And so I really took that from both of them, that it's not about you, it's about the people that you have the privilege to lead. And I took that to heart, and I've always lived by that.
And that's such a powerful reflection. And simply timeless, and what you shared earlier about your father's rule of, would you want your mother to know, that really stuck with me because it cuts straight to integrity, doesn't it? And it shows how accountability isn't about punishment, but about living in alignment with values. And you're right, responsibility has been watered down in many spaces, yet it's the foundation of trust, growth, and character. owning mistakes instead of avoiding them is where real strength lies. And I love the fact that you kept in touch with your teacher. I mean, I'm sorry to hear about his passing, but that's such a beautiful thing. And you've carried their lesson well in leadership, to the extent where your book, Your Leadership Legacy, has had such an impact. What inspired you to write it, and what do you hope readers take away from it?
Yeah, well, I've wanted to write that book for a long time, and you know, just like many authors will tell you, just kept pushing it off and pushing it off, and I just kept delaying writing it, and I wish I had written it much earlier, and I should have. But what really inspired me to finally write it, besides the fact that I knew I had some good lessons that I needed to pass on to the next generation of leaders and the current generation of leaders as well. But my wife and I and her mom, who used to live here in the condo with us here in Daytona, and two other ladies that live in the condo, same condo we do, we went to this event at our Catholic church, and it was kind of a motivational / how do we revitalize the Catholic church in our communities. And the guest speaker was fantastic, Jonathan Fanning. And if you ever get a chance to talk to him and listen to him speak, you absolutely need to. And so it was a 3-hour long event. Now, obviously, he didn't speak for 3 hours. He spoke for like 40, 45 minutes, took a break. Then he'd speak for 40, 45 minutes, take a break. And then he finished up with 45 minutes. And every time he took a break, I went up and I was picking his brain. I didn't give him much of a break because he was doing what I wanted to do. He was speaking to people and helping people. And so I would pick his brain, and he gave me lots of great advice I still use today, things that I still use in my personal business and my personal life. And so we did that. I did that each break. And at the end, after it was all over, I went up and I thanked him, and he, you know, we said our goodbyes. And as he was walking away, he took about 3 steps. And as he was walking away, he turned around and he said, "Oak, have you written a book?" And I said, "No." I said, "But I'm thinking about it." And he points his finger at me and he says, "Stop thinking about it and write it." And so I thought, wow, okay. So I went home that night, the 15th of February, 2020, and I wrote out the table of contents. I started writing it the next day, and I published the book on the 12th of February, 2021. So just under a year from the time I started till the time I published it. And my initial thoughts was I was writing it for the young generation. And I think I hit that. If you read the reviews of the book, there's plenty of reviews on there from young men and women who say that it's helped them quite a bit. But yeah. Then I also get reviews from older people who have been a leader as long or longer than me. In fact, I got a direct message on LinkedIn one day from a 2-star Marine Corps general. Now he's a 3-star general. And he said to me, he said, "You know, I picked up your book and I read it." He said, "I didn't learn a whole lot of brand new things in there." He said, "I learned some new techniques." And he said, "But what I really took out of the book was I would be reading along and I'd read something and I'd say to myself, you know, I used to do that really well. And I don't do that so well anymore. Maybe I need to dedicate some time to get back to doing that again." And I think we all need that little nudge every once in a while to get us back to the things that we do well and that have helped make us the success that we are. Because we all get busy, we get lazy, we get, you know, complacent, and we forget some of those things. And I get asked quite often, you know, because I titled it Your Leadership Legacy. What does legacy mean? And to me, it really is, you know, and that's part of the reason I wrote it as well, because I think it is our responsibility, current leaders, it's your responsibility to pass on these lessons that you've learned as a leader to that next generation. And that's really what I hope I was doing. And legacy to me means it has two parts. A very small part of your legacy as a leader is what you actually accomplished in an organization. And the reason I say that is because if If you tie your entire legacy to what you accomplished, then when you leave, and you are going to leave at some point, one way or another, you're going to quit, get fired, get promoted, die, whatever, you're going to leave that position at some point. And if you tie your legacy to what you did, then what's going to happen to that legacy when the next person comes in and changes everything? So your real legacy is that next generation of leaders that you helped create, who are then going to create the next generation, and then they're going to create the next generation. That is your legacy.
Yes, and that's really powerful. And that's incredible that everything came round full circle with Jonathan's challenge, and clearly sparked something unstoppable in you. And now that's such a profound truth about legacy, and it reframes leadership in the best way. I think achievements fade, systems get replaced, and strategies evolve, but people carry the imprint, don't they, of how you led them, and the ripple effect of leaders you've shaped who go on to shape others becomes your living legacy. It's not about the trophies or the character and capability you leave behind in others. And that's the kind of legacy that really outlives titles, roles, and
it does. It outlives you. It outlives you.
I really love that. Thank you. And we often hear that leadership is about example, not instruction. But how do you personally live by that principle?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You know, I tell young leaders all the time, my dad, and this again goes back to my dad. He said, son, if you say one thing and you do another, it is your actions that are going to be believed 100% of the time. And I absolutely agree with that. And I tell young leaders and leaders in general, you have to live the part of being a leader, being the person that other people look up to you. I had a friend one time who told me, oh, people want to be led by better men and women than they are. And I agree with that. And you need to understand that as a leader. And what I tell people is you always have to go back to your values. Anytime you're going to make a decision, you got to go back to your values. If you're looking at a goal that you want, if I want to be in this position 20 years from now, start with your values and stay with your values, because your goals are going to change as you grow, as things happen in your life. I mean, my goals when I was 18 years old were certainly different than when I got married, and then when I had my first child and my second child, and as things happened in my life. Mm-hmm. So that the goals will always change, but the values should not. And I'm adamant about that, because it does no good to get where you want to be 20 years from now if you don't like the person you are when you get there. Yes. And so I think you always have to go back to your values.
And that's such timeless wisdom. And your father's lesson really captures it perfectly. People may listen to what a leader says, but they believe what a leader does. I love that. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Oak, for sharing what you have so far. Let's take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment here on UK Health Radio. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia and I'm here with retired Lieutenant Colonel Oakland McCullough. For the break, we talked about the foundation of service and legacy. Now let's dive into the inner values and mindset that shape real impact. Welcome back, Oak.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Now, Oak, you were talking about legacy and leadership, and that you believe that what a leader does has more impact, and by anchoring every decision in values, and you give yourself a compass that doesn't waver even as life and goals inevitably shift. That's what makes leadership trustworthy, not perfection but consistency in living out the principles you stand for. And it's no wonder those you mentor remember this so deeply. And Oak, you've led teams in high stress, high stakes environments. What did resilience look like for you in those moments? How can others cultivate it?
Yeah, I think that the key to being resilient is a couple things in my life. Number one, knowing I'm making decisions based on values and with the people I'm leading their best interest at heart. Now, having said that, you know, I'm a firm believer in servant leadership, that it's about them. But, you know, I also was in the Army, where you get a mission and you got to accomplish the mission as well. And in the American Army, we had always had a saying, mission first, people always. So you got to accomplish the mission, but you also have to take care of the people that you have the privilege to lead. And it is absolutely a privilege to be the leader. And I think too many leaders in this world today have forgotten that it's a privilege. So I think you've got to go back to your values, understand why you're making decisions that you are. Think about the people that your decisions are going to affect, not only right then, but the second and third order of effect that your decisions are going to have on people. And then I think that, you know, you have to trust in your gut feeling that, you know, you're doing what's right and you're doing what needs to be done. I had the privilege of listening to General Hal Moore talk one time. And General Hal Moore, for those in your audience who don't know who that was, Mel Gibson played his character in We Were Soldiers Once and Young during the Vietnam War. He was the battalion commander during really the first American battle in the Vietnam War. And I had the privilege to listen to him talk, not once, but twice. And during one of his talks, and I remember it stuck in my head completely, he said, he was talking about resilience and not giving up. And he said to me, he said, not just to me, but everybody, but it was like he was talking to me. He said, life is not like baseball. It isn't three strikes and you're out. If you try something and it doesn't work, try something else. And if that doesn't work, you try something else. And if that doesn't work, you try something else. And you keep trying until you figure out what works. And so that stuck with me. And I've always used that. It's come to me several times when I try two or three different things that just weren't working. And I just try another thing until I figured it out.
That's incredible, and thank you so much for sharing that, because that's really valuable advice. And the lesson from General Hal Moore is gold, really. And the way you describe it, it clearly etched itself into your mindset. His perspective dismantles that fear of failure. Instead of seeing setbacks as endings, you're reframing them as steps in the process, aren't you? Resilience becomes persistence with creativity, adapting, adjusting, and refusing to stop until the path forward reveals itself. And that's gold, really, it is. Thank you for sharing. And you speak so powerfully about these values. And what do you consider the core values that must anchor anyone who wants to make a real impact?
Yeah, and this is whether you're a leader or not, because I think these two values are important as people, not just as leaders. But, you know, there's many dozens of values out there, and you got to pick the values that mean the most to you in your life. I mean, that's a very personal thing. But I think everybody's values should have these two, and I think they should be at the very top of your list of values. Number one is integrity. And number two is personal courage. And this is why I tie them together. Integrity, beyond a doubt, because people have to trust what you're saying is true. And if you say you're going to do something, that you're going to do it. And I think that's the number one character of any leader or any person, that you're honest and people can trust you. But here's why I say personal courage is tied to that. Because, you know, leaders do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because somebody's watching or somebody's going to check up on them. They are watching and they are going to check up on you, but that's not why you do the right thing. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And hopefully people do that as well, but certainly leaders must do that. Even if it's not in your best interest, you still have to do the right thing. And I think anybody who's been in a leadership position has had to make decisions that weren't necessarily in their best interest, but it was in the best interest of the company or the organization or the people that you had the privilege to lead. And you got to make that decision. If you don't have personal courage tied to that integrity, then the first time you come to a point where you have to make a decision that's not in your best interest, but in somebody else's, and the right answer is to make the decision in somebody else's best interest, then you're going to make the decision based on your best interest, not theirs. Mm. Even if that's not the right decision, because you don't have the personal courage to stand up and say, yep, that isn't in my best interest, but the best thing to do for this company, for the people in the company, is to make this decision. Without personal courage, you're not going to make that decision.
Yes. And I think it's easy to do the right thing when you said that, when it also benefits you. But the true measure of character is where the right choice costs you something personally. And that's the moment where personal courage reinforces integrity, allowing you to put others on the greater mission above self-interest. But there's an element of where people are using that integrity, and I love the way it's beautifully put, that where you've said that's the heart of authentic leadership, but there's a part of that integrity that shows up in a negative way, in a fearful way. And one thing that holds many people back is the fear of failure, or even the fear of success. Why do you think success can be just as intimidating?
Oh, and I've seen it, and I'm sure you have too, that, you know, people get right to the point where they're ready to succeed and then they take a step back.
Yes.
And I think there's a couple reasons for that. I think they again, not only fear of success, but then they fall back on that fear. Am I good enough? Am I really this person that I can be, that I think I can be? And so they kind of take that step back. But I think it's also part of it is that some people just don't want that extra responsibility. They don't want that extra accountability. They are happy just to do what they're told to do and not have to be the person telling people what to do and then taking responsibility for that. Because again, you know, accountability, I think everybody should be held accountable. From the brand new person that gets hired in the organization to the CEO, president, everybody needs to be held accountable. But yes, responsibility is that leaders, and that leaders alone. Leaders don't get to pick and choose what they want to be responsible for. You can't say, well, that went really well, I'm going to take responsibility for that. That didn't go so well, so I'm going to blame Belinda for that. Yes. Sorry, that's not leadership. Yes. And I see that a lot in today's world where leaders fail to take responsibility. And I think there's people out there who just don't want that responsibility of being the leader.
Yeah, and exactly. The true leadership doesn't cherry pick outcomes. Accountability has to flow through every level of an organization, but responsibility rests squarely on the leader's shoulders, doesn't it? You don't just own the wins, you own the losses as well. And the missteps as well, and everything in between, and passing blame down the line erodes trust instantly.
So, oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about ego. How have you learned to keep your ego in check in roles of power, and why is that so important?
Yeah, so we all have an ego. Anybody who tells you they don't have an ego is lying to themselves, and probably you too. And we want people to have an ego, because your ego is what drives you to be successful. It's what drives you to be the best at whatever you do. But good leaders and good people, but certainly good leaders, know when to put that ego aside and use the skills, knowledge, abilities of the people that you have the privilege to lead. And I learned that lesson early on in my career in the Army. You know, I was a brand new lieutenant. I was 23 years old, took over my first platoon. So I had 32 men that I was responsible for. And the very first day I showed up, and my platoon sergeant, they were already out in the field. And my platoon sergeant, the second in command of the platoon, who had been working as the platoon leader above his position for about a month or so, He grabs me by the shoulder and he says, "Sir, grab an MRE and let's go have lunch underneath this tree." And we walked over there, and I can see it. Then it was Sergeant First Class Penson. He was about 6'5", 220 pound, big old country boy from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And he walks me over there. We sit down and we're eating our lunch. And he says to me, he says, "Sir, you're the boss." He said, "We will do things however you want to do them." He said, "Even if you're messing up," he said, "however," he said, "I've been in the Army for 23 years. He'd been in the Army as long as I'd been alive. Why would you not listen to somebody who with that kind of experience? And the answer is because your ego gets in the way. You think you've got all the answers. You know all the, you know, you've got the skills, you've got the abilities, and nobody else does. And it's just not true." And he said to me, he said, "I will tell you when you're messing up. If you still want to do it that way, you're the boss. We'll do it however you want to do it." He said, "But it's my responsibility to tell you when you're about to make a mistake." And I give Sergeant First Class Penson a lot of credit for helping to develop me into the leader that I became. And, you know, I always, it's certainly for the first 6-7 months that I was the platoon leader and he was the platoon sergeant, when I was going to make a decision, without him, I would always come back to him and I'd say, "Hey, Sergeant First Class Penson, this is what I'm going to do." And he'd either say, "Great," or he'd look at me and say, "Really? That's what you want to do?" And then that always made me take a step back and think, well, maybe not. But, you know, you have to put your ego aside and you have to allow the people on your team who have skills, knowledge, and abilities that maybe you don't have, to use those. That's how creativity happens. Yeah. Because if you're that other one that got the leader with an ego that tells people, "This is the way you're going to do it. This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it," then no creativity happens there. Why would they? You're going to tell them when to do, what to do, how to do it. They just got to sit there and wait for you to tell them. On the other end of the scale, you've got creativity. You're giving them a mission, giving them a project, a task, a job, and giving them some left and right limits. You know, this is how much money you can spend. These are the people you can use. This is the equipment you need. And then you let them do it however they would do it. Will they do it the way you would have done it? Probably not. Who cares? And the analogy that I always use is this. If you and I have to get to the number 9, why do I care how you get us to 9? 7 + 2 = 9, but so is 6 + 3 and 5 + 4 and 8 yeah. +1. It doesn't matter how you get me there. Just get me to 9. Mm. Use your knowledge, skills, and ability and what you're comfortable with to get us to that point.
Exactly. And by setting ego aside, you unlocked not just the wisdom of your sergeant from before, but also the creativity of the whole team. And that's the difference between command and control leadership, which shuts ideas down, and collaborative leadership, which multiplies them. And I love the fact that it doesn't matter how you're getting to that destination, just to get there. I love that. Thank you so much, Oak. Your insight has been extremely valuable. We'll be right back shortly after the break. Let's hear a word from our sponsors here on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and we're continuing our powerful conversation with retired Lieutenant Colonel Oakland McCullough. Let's now explore what legacy looks like in action and how each of us can begin building it right now. Welcome back, Oak.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
What do you believe are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about what it means to leave a legacy? I know you spoke about it earlier, but the misconceptions, what are those?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, it's not about what you did. I mean, that matters. Let's be honest. Results matter in the real world. So you got to be successful. You can do all kinds of amazing things, but if you're not successful, if you don't accomplish what it is you need to accomplish, then you're not a good leader, because you need to do that. But again, I don't think that that's the whole part of your legacy. It is who you leave behind, not just in your business world, but in your personal life. You know, how you raise your children, how you interact with your grandchildren. You know, I'm lucky. I've got an 11-year-old granddaughter, 8-year-old grandson, and a 4-year-old grandson, and I love spending time with them. And you know, I believe that I'm just an old man trying to get to heaven. So there's not a whole lot of rules. They get what they want, to a point. But I do believe that it is my job. My wife and I both believe it is our job when we spend time with our grandchildren to teach them some of the things that they need to be successful, to be good people, to make a difference in this world. And I think that that's the key, is that your legacy is that those people that you have that influence on to be not only better workers, but better people. And I believe that is part of our responsibility as leaders, is to help people that want to be better people, be better people.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a grounded perspective. Thank you for sharing that. And can you share a moment of failure or challenge in your career that later became one of your greatest teachers?
Yeah, you know, I started my military career right out of high school at West Point. I did 2 years at West Point. I didn't graduate from West Point, the United States Military Academy. I came home and I helped my father. I ran his business with him for a little bit while he was recovering. And so then I went to ROTC and at the local university there, which was about 12 miles away. And, you know, some people would look at, you know, you didn't graduate from West Point and that's a failure. I look at it as it taught me some other things. It taught me that there are, like I said, you know, get to the number nine. There's more ways than one to get to what I wanted, which was a commission as an officer in the United States Army. Mm-hmm. And so I took the other route that helped not only me, but my family. And then, you know, you look at it, I got to spend some time in the National Guard, where as a cadet, I was actually in charge of a platoon, and I learned a lot of good lessons. Some of them, you know, made mistakes that I knew I wasn't going to make when I was an actual second lieutenant in charge of my platoon on active duty. I met my wife in that ROTC program because she was an Army nurse for 8 years, and I met her there in that program, and that was 38 years ago. So I think that could be counted as a success now, at least for today. And then I got my commission, and it really didn't matter how I got there. It was, you know, you just, when obstacles get in your way, then you can look at them as obstacles, or you can look at them as you may have to do a detour around that obstacle or through that obstacle if that's an opportunity or a possibility. But you find a way to figure out what your goal is, stay with your values, and figure out a way to get to that goal. And it's not always a straight line. You know, sometimes we look at successful people and we think, well, that they got successful on a straight line. I promise you, nobody who was successful got there on a straight line. They had to make detours. They had to go around obstacles, problems. That's called life.
Yeah. And obstacles aren't dead ends. They're invitations to adapt, to take a detour, or to grow stronger and pushing through. And we learn from those failures or mistakes and detours, don't we? So that's wonderful. And what's one meaningful step someone can take today towards building a life and legacy they'll be proud of, then, Oak? What would you advise our listeners?
Yeah, I think that, again, the key to me is that you want to be a good person. That, you know, you want to be a good leader. You want to be a successful person, but you want to be a good person. And to me, it goes back to character. It goes back to values. It goes back to putting other people in front of your wants, wishes, and desires when it's the right thing to do. And to me, that was that. I keep that in the front of my mind, and I have for many, many years. And that you know, it's really not about me. It's not about. We are just insignificant on this in this world. But I believe that we were put here to help other people. And if that's not why we were put here, then I'm not really sure why we were.
Yeah, and that's such a humble and profound outlook, really anchoring leadership and life itself in the desire to simply be a good person. Thank you so much, Oak. Thank you again, Oak. Your message is powerful. That real impact doesn't come from position, it comes from the choices we make every day. You've shown us that legacy isn't just about what we leave behind, but how we show up while we're here. Oak, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, I have a website, and on that website it has links to all my social media. So absolutely, please connect with me on LinkedIn and Instagram and all the ones that I have there. And on that website, it has my cell phone, my email. It has a link to my book. And it has, if you're interested in having me talk at an event that you have, then by all means, reach out to me. But I love connecting with people. If somewhere down the road I can help you or you can help me when we connect, great. But I just like connecting with people because you can learn from everybody, anybody. And I do all the time.
And that's beautiful. To our listeners, if you're ready to live with more intention, to influence others through your values and actions, I highly recommend Your Leadership Legacy. It's more than a book. It's a blueprint for how to live a life of meaning. This has been the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia. Until next time, lead with courage, live with purpose, and always choose impact over image. We'll close today's episode with a song that perfectly captures the spirit of service, resilience, and intentional living. Here's I Lived by One Republic.
And I hope that you don't suffer, but take the pain. Hope when the moment comes, you'll say, I lived.